You are listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime. He's back on the West Coast. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus. This time I'm going to make it on my own. So why don't you fellas just leave me alone, Vandenberg. How you doing, brother?
What's up, Nate?
I'm doing well, my friend. We have a lot to talk about this week. Of course, we got maybe the biggest story in the sports world. Little game taking place in Houston coming up here in the future. Featuring America's team.
The Patriots?
That's Donald Trump's team.
I mean, technically, probably America's team, president.
Yeah, so given the results of the election, they may be America's team, yeah. Which is, we got the Patriots and the Falcons. So, I'm going to try hard not to be too excited this week, brother. But, it's no secret who's going to be my dog in that fight.
Hey, they made it. I mean, not even you thought going into the season that they would make the Super Bowl, so...
Honestly, if you'd asked me before the season, I would have been happy with...
just the playoffs, right?
I'd have been happy with winning the division and then getting, maybe winning one game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'd have been satisfied with that. So whatever we do from here on out is gravy.
Yeah.
I really don't want the Patriots to win because that'll make Donald Trump happy. We don't need that.
No.
Speaking of your main man, the 45th president of the United States... one of the Kings were in his backyard last weekend during the inauguration. So, Brother Marcus, how was your trip, and did you get sucked into any of the marches?
No, I did not. I was I got to the D.C. area on Friday morning before the inauguration, and I was staying out in College Park, Maryland, which is right outside D.C. And I actually never touched foot inside D.C. proper. I made it up to... Baltimore to visit Monique Jones, friend of the show.
Okay.
And then I made it to Virginia to visit one of my groomsmen, Darren Sands, who lives in Arlington. But I never actually got to within D.C., which I think Friday would have been fine, but I think Saturday would have been a nightmare because of the turnout from the Women's March.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, I mean, I noticed it Thursday night on my flight out, and I was looking, as we were boarding the flight, it had to be at least 75% women.
You started feeling a little self-conscious.
I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to sit next to one on this flight. That's cool. And, you know, I got to D.C. I saw only one person at Dulles International Airport who had on anti-Clinton paraphernalia on. She had it was like a red shirt with the same font as the Make America Great Again, and it was like some anti-Hillary text on the back. But besides that, and there's some people at the hotel we were staying at that were there for the inauguration.
I was going to say, did you run into anybody notable?
And no celebrities in D.C. Did not run into anyone, I don't think. No.
No Toby Keith sighting?
No. Not at the Holiday Inn in College Park, no.
I mean, to be fair, though, that does fit his demographic.
That is true. But it was just, it's overall, it was a, I guess, not somber, I would say, just a weird weekend. Kind of fitting that the entire, I guess, 72 hours I was out there, I did not see the sun once. So maybe that was saying something.
Even God was trying to tell you something.
Yeah. So made it back on Monday, and your man Donald, he's been active, huh?
Real quick, what did you think? Because I know maybe one of the biggest things that popped off over the weekend was not only the Women's March, but Donald Trump's reaction to said march, and when he sent out his press secretary for his first appearance in front of the country.
Sean Spicer.
My man went ham.
must see TV.
Because I was sitting there. I just gotten in from work. And this would have been, what, Saturday night?
It was like Saturday, like afternoon, late afternoon,
like,
Eastern
time. Like around 5-ish, 6-ish. So I'm getting in from work, and I turn on CNN, and I'm, you know, seeing all the things going on with the Women's March. And I'm like, and now we're going to hear from Sean Spicer with his reaction to the protest. So my man Spicer gets up there. Not only does he not really say anything at all about the protest, he's out here talking about some statues. Like, I just want everybody to know we didn't do anything to Martin Luther King statue. That is false. Like, why is you mad? Like, I had to put my Cat Williams voice on. Like, nigga, is you gangbanging on a press conference? what did you make of that, Marcus? Somebody who is a member of the media, how did you feel he did on his first time out reacting to the press?
Oh, he did terribly. He's not going to last. He can't continue to. You know what, I don't know if this was Trump making him go out, and I saw a Washington
Post. I was going to say, to be fair, that's got to be a hard job, because, you know, that's Donald Trump is, he's got, like Vince McMahon with his announcers, he's always in your ear.
Yeah, I mean, he's being sent out by Trump to be the bad guy and to give no answers and to sort of be a pain in the ass to the media. But he embarrassed himself so much in that first press briefing that I can't see him lasting no more than 6 months at this rate. It's just, it's to the point now where the networks are broadcasting these daily press briefings. And this is something that, under the Obama campaign, I mean, you'd have to turn, like, to C-SPAN to watch these things. Like, this is something that's being aired on CNN and Fox News. And it's, I think he's going to lose it. Did you see the tweet he sent out earlier this morning?
No, what did he say this morning?
He sent out this random cryptic tweet that people assumed that was probably some type of password, maybe to his own Twitter account.
Oh, no.
The tweet literally was, it's N9Y25AH7. So, I mean, that's either a butt tweet or as a password. I don't know. But this is the, you know, the people are running this country now. It's Who knows what that could be?
I'm saying it might be a code to our friends in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, it could be a new code for all we know.
Oh, man. Between him and your girl, Kellyanne, coming out with the alternative facts.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How do you feel about her?
Man, like, all this happened in 1 week.
And a lot of this was over the size of his inauguration.
Exactly. Nothing important.
He's the pettiest president we've ever had, ever. I mean, who cares about the number of people at your inauguration when we can all see for ourselves how many people were there? Why are you going to fight this?
You know somebody's petty when Marcus Vandenberg says they're being petty.
It's just...
like for no reason.
There's a lot of negative traits for President Trump. Top of the list. He's petty. He's too petty. You can't be in charge and be this petty. You have to let it go, man. Let it go.
He's saying if Donald Trump was a character in the New Edition movie on BET, he would be Petty Riley.
He would be.
But let's get away from politics, Marcus, because people don't come to Kings's Port for our political opinions. Well, not usually. They come to us for burger reviews.
Yes.
And it has been a while, but the segment that took over the country, took America by storm last year, is back. And so, Brother Marcus, can you present to the people our very first Vandenbergers of 2017?
And now it's time for the freshest, hottest, and dare we say juiciest segment in the history of sports radio. Got beef? Well, Brother Marcus is here to squash it. It's time for Vandenbergers on the Kings of Sports.
Hamburger. We have the meat.
They call it Royale with you.
Royale with you.
That's right.
I can't. Hamburgers are something that the country can agree on.
Yes. That can bring us together.
They're tasty. Republicans, Democrats, they all agree. Hamburgers are tasty. And I had my first... Well, actually, is this had taken place in... I think actually technically it took place in 2016, but we'll fudge it. It was the last week of the year. We had a listener who recommended, I think it was JT, who recommended that I go to the Hawkins House of Burgers.
Mm.
And it's a place that my friend Frank and I have sort of been eyeballing, but just finding the time has been an issue going out there. But we did find some time during the Christmas holiday, and we made the drive out to... I believe it's technically in Compton, I want to say.
Okay. So you were in the hood?
We were in the hood. There was no denying that. And you get off the freeway and you make a right. And it looks like literally like a burger shack almost.
Mm.
And so you park and there were some people outside lined up. And... the inside space, like, there is no place to sit down inside it. It's big enough where you can walk in, order, and walk back out. So
okay.
They have these, like, a canopy set up on the outside with tables and stuff. And I was reading the Yelp reviews ahead of time just to get a feel of the place. And a lot of people mentioned that when you go sit outside, that there are local cats from the neighborhood that are just sort of lingering in the area. And of course, when you show up and get there, there are multiple cats just chilling, posted outside the hamburger place. So,
oh no.
I mean, they didn't cook the cats, but the cats are there. So if you don't like cats, there's an issue. But
so felines aside, how was the food?
So I ordered a fat bacon burger.
Okay.
Which was $6.99.
Now, how fat are we talking?
It was pretty fat. I was expecting, you know, something I could manage on my own.
Right.
This was a bit burger. Which threw me off because there is a bigger size option.
Bigger than the fat burger.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So the fat burger gets you actually two patties, still. There is a double burger. Actually, come to think of it, no, looking at the menu, I wonder if they just messed up my order because I'm looking at the picture and I'm looking at the menu and it says, like, at the top, single burgers and double burgers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe they just goofed and gave me a second patty, which did me in ultimately. But so I had this bacon burger and the lettuce, tomato, and I just
I'm looking at the picture right now. It's a big burger.
Yeah, yeah, it's big, and it was greasy, which you know. You know my stomach situation.
Yes.
You know, less grease, the better for me.
Right.
And we'll get back to that at the end. But it was a damn good burger. Now, my burger wasn't... You see my burger, which is big. My friend ordered the Whipper burger, which is a double burger with pastrami and a hot link. And cheese.
Pastrami... And a hot link.
Yep. And two patties.
Wow.
And he ate it all.
Wow. Okay, okay.
Yeah. But in terms of flavor, I mean, this is probably the top of the list. In terms
I was going to say, so like for those that don't know, our rating system is 1 to 5 crowns, with 1 being... barely edible, and 5 being a life-changing experience. And up to this point, Marcus, Holstein's out in Vegas has been your best burger on Vanderburgers. Are you saying that Hawkins has come out and dethroned the reigning champion?
We have a new champion.
Wow. Big news.
Cue the Howard Finkel.
Big news.
Yeah.
Hashtag and new.
And new. It was, you know what, I would get it again for sure. I would need to get the single patty. The two patties is too much.
So in terms of like fries, like how would it fry?
I had some steak fries. They were good. Not the best fries in the world, but also not, you know, not terrible.
Okay.
And so I about halfway through the burger, I had to stop, and it just, you know, it was too much. Yeah. now, the negative of all this, and kids, I hope you're not eating dinner. So I mentioned the grease element.
Yes.
It did not sit well with my stomach, as I found out later.
So you're saying Hawkins made a bit of a comeback?
Hawkins made a comeback at around 3 a.m. that night.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
And, so there was that. And,
oh no!
Wasn't
but you think that that's just because you had too much?
I think it was the grease. To be honest, I just think it was too greasy, and maybe because of the second patty or what bacon maybe. But I don't think it was anything to do with the meat itself. It was just the
amount of grease.
The amount of grease, but yeah, it.
Okay.
It,
so you might have to do the old napkin trick and squeeze out some of the grease.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. So besides that wake up call, it was it was worth it.
So I think Marcus Vandenberg said Hawkins Burgers dated shit.
Yes.
Put that on the poster.
Yeah. So if you're in LA and you're looking for a good burger and you don't mind going to the hood, I recommend Hawkins House of
Burgers. How hood are we talking though, Marcus? This is like hood adjacent, or is this like
across the street is the projects. Like,
So what you're saying is if this was like 1984, we could have seen Ice Cube walk across the street.
Yeah, yeah, it was, it's the hood.
Okay, so, yeah, so, yeah, go ahead and try Hawkins out. That sounds good, though, like, because you're right, we got a request, I want to say maybe almost a year ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
From one of the listeners on Twitter, so, yeah, shout out to the listener for suggesting Hawkins, and we have a new champion. Holsteins has been unseated.
By the Black Burger.
That might be a theme this week. We're just going to be talking about some black stuff. We're also going to be talking about some football. Maybe best of all, Marcus.
One more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
It's technically in Watts. It's not Compton. I'm looking at a description now.
Okay.
And they have been featured, it looks like, on...
Dinos, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Doesn't say. It just says Food Network and the Travel Channel.
Okay, they probably sent... who's the black cook? G. Garvin?
Yeah.
They probably sent him there. Garfieri ain't going to Watts.
No, he's not.
Like, I'm right across the street from Hawkins Burgers because I don't want to go in the hood. I had somebody go pick up my food for me. This is delicious.
Let's see if I can find the Food Network.
Marcus.
Like Bizarre Foods, Andrew Zimmerman.
Oh, Andrew Zimmerman, Bizarre Foods. So the bizarre thing is going to the ghetto. This man goes to like Tanzania and the Ukraine and all across the world to find these crazy foods. But you haven't seen my most bizarre food yet. We're going to the hood.
Yeah. All right. Interesting.
Good job, Food Network. I think that's a successful return for Vanderburgers.
I do have one thing I want to tease for this for the end of the show that you don't know about.
Okay.
So I've had a couple of wrestling interviews since the last time we spoke.
Yes.
Last week I spoke to my buddy Paul. Not that Paul. Paul Levesque. Triple H.
Your man Paul.
And talked to Triple H, and that's already up on Yahoo Sports if you want to check that out. I think I posted it on the Facebook page, too. It was prior to inauguration, which I didn't realize at the time that he would be attending. And probably for the best that we didn't talk politics, so didn't want to go there.
Yep.
And then today, on Thursday, I talked to AJ Styles.
Cool. How was that guy from Atlanta
that
doing?
That guy from Atlanta.
He was referred to on the Today Show.
He was very good. We chatted for about 10 minutes, and that'll be up on Friday, so by the time this show comes out, it'll be live. And I did ask him about the Today Show stuff. He did have a response for Al Roker and for Tamron Hall. And asked him about John Cena and how he would do in the indies, which he had an interesting answer about that. I think just from talking to him, and part of it might have been him shooting, but I think he does sort of take the indie stuff personal. And I think there is a stigma on, and I asked him, you know, did he feel a sense of pride of like him, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, all these guys who came from a different path than maybe like a John Cena. And I think he does, you know, recognize that, and he's proud of his path, and I think he's proud of being a quote independent guy. What else did I ask? I asked him about the Falcons, because he is a big Falcons fan. And what else? I asked him about his faith, because he, as you know, he's a very religious man.
Yes.
And I asked him if he found any challenges being a religious man in an industry like wrestling.
Okay.
So it was a good interview. I was.
I think what the people want to know though, did you ask him the hard hitting questions though, Marcus?
What's that?
Did you ask him? Has he had any contact with Claire Lynch?
No, I did not.
That would have been the end of the interview.
It would have been.
Get off my phone, Mark.
Yeah. But that'll be up.
So is that up or is it?
It'll be up, and I will try to. I'll send you the audio file if you want to attach it to the end of the episode.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that'll be good. A little treat for the listeners.
Yeah.
So not only do you get AJ Styles, but you get Vanderburgers, which you just got. You get our NFL talk coming up here next in second down, and closing out the show. We've got maybe another first here on the Kings of Sport, Marcus. Praise for BET.
What?
Yes, you heard me. Praise for BET. So don't you guys go anywhere.
EBT? Did you say EBT or BET?
No, not EBT. Not BTE, which is probably like some British tax company. But no, BET, Black Entertainment Television. We've got praise for them.
Who is this we you speak of, though?
the people.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we've got all of that and so much more on a jam-packed new edition of the Kings of Sports. So don't you guys go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport, the evolution of sports talk.
Time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your pigskin preview, your gridiron gab fest, and your weekly football focus. It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow. Referees, whistle blows, weekend warriors toe-to-toe, football.
The old-timers, do you remember the names? Like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane. Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Hoff.
We're back on the Kings of Sport, Nate Marcus, and you're hearing that music, so you know exactly what time it is. Second Down, our weekly segment where we look into the world of the National Football League. And Brother Marcus, we have two teams ready to meet up in Houston, like we talked about in the A block. The AFC champion, New England Patriots, and the NFC champion, your Atlanta Falcons. So before we look ahead, Marcus, let's take a look back to our conference championship games. And going into the weekend, did you feel that one or both or neither of these teams were going to be the ones to come out of the championship matchups?
I thought the Patriots would win, and I thought the Packers, just based on the way Aaron Rodgers has been playing and the team overall, would defeat the Falcons, and I was wrong.
Yeah, you were very wrong.
Oh, come on. You weren't expecting that.
I mean, I expected – it's funny because I went one for one as well because I thought that the Steelers were going to be able to get something done. They were not. But I did have the Falcons winning just because I thought if the game were in Green Bay would have the advantage. But at the Georgia Dome in the last game in the Dome, I had a feeling this was going to be, Atlanta's time to shine. And shine they did, Marcus Vandenberg.
They did. However, I did find a reason to root for the Falcons, though.
Besides future.
And besides Ludacris and Jermaine Dupri.
Jermaine Dupri and T.I., who's like now the mayor of Atlanta, the ambassador.
Yes.
What is that reason?
That reason is Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
See, I thought you were going to go dancing Arthur Blank.
No, that's embarrassing. Dan Quinn spent 4 years at Hofstra as a defensive line coach and then as their defensive coordinator. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Have you had any contact with him?
I have not. No, I wasn't aware of this until prior to Sunday. I saw a story. I want to say it was Newsday, one of the Long Island TV stations maybe, that mentioned the fact that he coached at Hofstra, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize that, so.
Okay, cool, yeah. So, and he is maybe the Falcon with the most Super Bowl experience heading into this game.
And I forgot, that's not the only Hofstra coach on this Falcons staff. Raheem Morris.
Ah, yes, yes.
Also, Hofstra. He actually graduated from Hofstra. Dan Quinn didn't attend there. He just coached there. So, I go Falcons.
I knew whether it was the Trump connection or Bill Belichick or
oh, that's a given. The Trump thing's a given. Yeah, no.
I knew we'd find a way to bring you over to the right side, Marcus.
Yes.
But yeah, I think the Falcons, they certainly surprised me with the manner in which they won the game. That offense, when it's clicking, is pretty damn hard to beat. That'll be the task for New England, and if anybody can find a way to dismantle an offense, it's Bill Belichick. But whether you got Julio Jones or this reemergent Mohamed Sanu or the two-headed monster in the backfield, like this is a good squad in terms of your offense, and Matt Ryan has exceeded my expectations. Like I always knew he was good, but it was a matter of I think we even had the conversation maybe last year, the year before, like how good is Matt Ryan? Like is he just Matt Stafford with a better team? And then he kind of proved me wrong this year.
He's going to be MVP. It would surprise me now at this point that if he doesn't win.
I'm just saying, how did, like, because I want to say 2 weeks ago, it was leaning towards Rodgers or Brady, and now, like, Matt Ryan's got this late momentum.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, my only reason I believe it now is because I've heard so many media members say, hey, I think Ryan's the guy. I don't think anything has changed in terms of voting, but yeah.
Yeah, like, I wonder what that narrative is because, yeah, it was like, as recently as 2 weeks ago, everybody was like, oh, this is Rodgers MVP or Tom Brady, what he's done in only 12 games. But, like, the last 2 weeks, most of your pundits, and granted, you got to take that with a grain of salt, but most of your pundits have been hyping up Matty Ice.
The one thing I don't know for NFL MVP is when the voting is done. If it's already done, then it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't impact what he's doing now. But if it's a situation where I know they announced it, I think it should be next week, I believe, if they announce this stuff. I think they announced it before Super Bowl. But yeah, I think he's going to win, which is saying something because I don't think you consider Matt Ryan the best quarterback in the league, do you?
No, not at all. I think he's definitely top 10, but he's not. No, I don't even know if I'd have him top 5.
Yeah, Brady, Rodgers. I would put Roethlisberger ahead of him.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees probably ahead of him.
Cam, when he's right, is ahead of him.
I would put Matt Ryan over Cam, just the body of work. Cam's had one good season. Matt Ryan has been consistent.
See, because this goes back to the discussion we had, whether it was last year or 2 years ago. Like, to me, Matt Ryan's in that class with Matt Stafford. Mm-hmm. Like, he's certainly there's nothing wrong with him per se, but I don't think there's anything special about him. Whereas with Cam, yeah, he's had, maybe one or two really good seasons and then a couple seasons that haven't been so good. But to me, Cam's special.
Cam is special, but his lows are low.
His highs have been higher, but his lows are certainly lower.
And Matt Ryan's low is maybe a few more interceptions than normal.
Right, right. Yeah, Ryan Stafford, somebody like Phillip Rivers, they're pretty much consistent.
Yeah, he's had six straight seasons of at least 4,000 yards. He almost had 5,000 yards this season. 38 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only missed 2 games ever in his career since, you know, starting in 2008. So he's considering, you know, all the quarterbacks in the league, and, you know, there are some teams with some bad quarterbacks. He's not a bad option.
Like I said, he is certainly, not that I was ever a Matt Ryan hater, but he certainly proved me wrong, at least this year, in terms of just, you know, he's just an average guy. You know, he's just on that, he's on that next level, you know, that secondary tier with guys like Stafford or a Phillip Rivers. And that's not saying that those guys are bad quarterbacks, but I just never saw them as the elites of the league. But at least for this year, Matt's in the conversation.
Yeah.
So, and then, like you said, you know, when you add up everything, and the only thing that worries me about the matchup is their defense. But I mean, anything could happen. You know, Beasley could get a hold of Tom Brady. That secondary looks really suspect. But you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, Super Bowl is always a weird game. It doesn't normally flow like your other games. I think probably in part because of nerves, in part because it's a 2-week layoff, and I mean, it's a bitch state, it's a neutral field, so yeah, I mean, it's up in the air. I think the Patriots were opened as 3-point favorites, but
I like that. I don't ever want to see the Falcons. I don't want it to be a pick'em game. I don't want the Falcons, you know, to get any points. I want them to stay underdogs.
Well, they will be. I don't see them swinging the odds to their favor. So
I want them to feel disrespected. I want them to feel like Bobby Brown when he was at the party and he was looking and everybody else was enjoying the party and Bobby was all alone. I want them to feel like that so that they can come out with a monster hit like Every Little Step I Take. But that's neither here nor there. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, 7-4. We'll get to that.
So, in terms of we'll have our full-fledged NFL Super Bowl preview starting next week. I guess not starting next week, but it'll take place next week. But in terms of just this matchup, Marcus, and as somebody who is obviously in the media, and you see how people react, both the fans of the league and also the writers and the broadcasters, what type of buzz do you think there is for this particular matchup? Because I know the matchup that at least Wall Street or the NFL thought was sexier was Rodgers versus Brady. What do you think is the country's appetite and maybe the media's appetite for Falcons-Patriots?
I think if you're doing a ranking of the 4 possible options, this would be number 2. I think definitely Packers-Patriots was the preferred option.
You think this one even over Packers and Steelers?
Yeah, it was the Patriots. Patriots, you know, they're kings. There's so many elements of the Patriots with Brady and Belichick that I think that holds more power than Roethlisberger and Rodgers. But
no, I mean, you think this matchup that we have here is more compelling than Packers and Steelers?
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think. Patriot, because of Brady, that it's going to be, it doesn't matter who the Patriots play, there's always this element of, if they win, what happens with Goodell? And Roger Goodell, who found himself in Atlanta for a second week in a row, because he did not want to deal with New England for obvious reasons.
Hey, man, it's risky business in the A.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think this is the most compelling option. I think the problem with the Falcons and the problem with Atlanta sports in general is the fan base is not exactly the best. They have only one title in their Atlanta sports history, which is kind of impressive and kind of bad at the same time. And, you know, I mean, the Falcons aren't a national fan base. They don't have one. There are some Falcons fans that I know who don't live in the area, but It's not the Cowboys. It's not the Patriots.
Right.
It's not the Giants. I'm sure the South is going to rally together behind the Falcons, but, you know, it's not one of those elite teams. So.
And honestly, from a sociological standpoint, I love the matchup because, and this is no shade on Boston, you know, having gone to school close to there and you know, knowing that it can be a very lovely place, but you got one of the blackest cities in the world, taking on one of the most segregated cities in the world. And as Wesley Snipes would say, Marcus, I'm going to bet on black.
To be fair, Atlanta's pretty segregated as well.
No, it's all ghettos. Haven't you heard? John Lewis's district, it's a hellhole. I don't care that Elton John. The house, it's a hellhole. It's a hellscape.
Yeah.
And I hope if the Falcons do win, that John Lewis is up there with them.
At the parade?
Yeah.
That'd be funny. I hope he's at the game.
Just give him a mic. Let him shoot on Trump for a little bit. yeah.
The other question is, the winner of the Super Bowl, who's showing up to the White House?
Will they let Julio Jones in the White House?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see.
Sorry, Julio, you got to stay on the other side of the wall. We build outside of the White House Rose Garden.
I can't see the entire team, both teams, going to the White House. So.
Nah, but you know, Brady be the first one up there to go high-five his man Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
Him and Belichick. Why couldn't he hire Bill Belichick as, like, the Secretary of Defense?
He's too busy out here.
He's got as many qualifications as anybody else in Trump's cabinet.
I couldn't see him wearing a suit, though.
Yeah. Maybe Trump would let him wear, like, a special hoodie. A presidential hoodie.
Yeah.
Like, Secretary Belichick, what about what's going on in Pakistan? Next question. It's like, damn, these are the most boring press conferences. Actually, no, he should have been the press secretary. If Belichick was the press secretary instead of Spicer, Trump would have fewer problems than he does right now.
Be very short.
Very short. What do you think about that crowd size? Next question, on to the economy. Just... Okay, all right. So yeah, we got our big Super Bowl preview scheduled for next week, folks. And I think it's going to be fun. So I know you got a big Pro Bowl party planned this weekend, Marcus.
Pro Bowl party, Royal Rumble party. What else is on Sunday?
Let's say with so many options available on the TV this Sunday, how much time will the Pro Bowl get? Like, will it even get 10 minutes of your time?
No. Zero.
I don't see any point in it. Like, the skills challenge, that's different. I might watch that.
It was on tonight. It was silly.
Was it like the old quarterback challenge back in the day?
No, it wasn't that. It was just, like, random. It felt like, remember NXT when they did that stuff?
Oh, it was that type of thing. Like,
yeah, that's what it felt like.
It was like, what's that show back in the day? Battle of the Network Stars?
Yeah, something like that.
Random obstacle courses and stuff?
The one thing I did see was they had a drone.
Okay.
Dropping footballs from the sky, and guys were trying to catch them. That's the kind of stuff they were doing.
See, I thought it was going to be more like, you remember the old quarterback challenge back in the day?
Uh-huh.
And then I think even the college still do it.
Yeah, like with they're throwing the, you know, passes into the idea.
Yeah, like I thought it was gonna be something more like that. Cause I think they even had a PlayStation game or a Genesis game made up off of that. It was like the Quarterback Club, because it was the only game where Randall Cunningham would license himself to.
I would rather see that and you know, see how who can throw the furthest or...
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, when they used to put the little chalk on the end of the football, that was fun. I watched that, but no. Now that you told me what the skill challenge was, I'm...
Yeah, don't watch it.
Not interested at all. But you know what I am interested in watching and did, in fact, watch multiple times this week, Marcus?
What's that?
BET.
Oh, no.
So, yes.
On purpose?
On purpose. I made a point to watch BET 3 sub nights this week, Marcus.
Oh, man.
And we will talk about the reason why for the listeners out there who may not know coming up next in segment 4. Because, again, this is going to be historical right here. This is Marcus Vandenberg being involved in a segment praising Black Entertainment Television.
Yeah. We'll see.
First time for everything.
Yeah.
So, don't you guys go anywhere. Stick and stay. More Kings of Sport on the other side.
I told her I'd never fall in love, but now I know better. How does it feel? I can't describe this feeling that came when I saw her last night. Oh, she got to me. I'll let you know the reason. I saw her with another guy. So if it is enough, why do I feel this way? Why does she stay on my mind? And if it is enough, why does it hurt so bad? Make me feel so sad inside. And if it is enough, why do I feel this way? Why does she stay on my mind? And if it is enough, why does it hurt so bad? So sad inside. If it is love, maybe take me back.
Take me back, yeah.
I made a big mistake.
Won't you forgive me now?
Now I can feel it.
She's not a bad people.
That one is hot fire.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport. Marcus and Nate holding things down for yet another week, and we're about to get up out of here. But before we do, you know we can't leave you without segment 4. It is our weekly repository of ratchetness, our dive into the swamp of pop culture, if you will. And we're still waiting for President Trump to drain it. But till he does, we're going to swim around in it and bring you some of the wildest stories that are available out there. And this week, Marcus, it's not a bad story. It's actually an uplifting story. And maybe one of the most surprising things of 2017, BET has done good work.
Say that again.
BET, yes, that BET, Black Entertainment Television, has done some good work.
All right. I want to hear this.
All right. So for those that don't know, there's been a reason that we played a plethora of songs this week coming in and out of the breaks from a certain collective of artists. And it's not just because the songs are good and they still hold up and stand the test of time. It's because this week, BET premiered its... I don't want to say record-breaking because they've had shows that have scored higher, but I think this is like their highest ratings in 5 years.
Yeah, it was record-breaking, for, I think, for demographic, for 18 to 34.
Okay, so yeah, I'll go ahead and say it then. Their record-breaking miniseries, the New Edition story, started Tuesday this past week and then ran for 3 nights on BET. And I believe on the first night, Marcus, they had about 4 million people tune in to watch this thing. So it has been... something that not only has gotten a lot of eyeballs, but obviously when you've got something big and you've got something black, and I'm just going to lay out for a second and let you insert your own joke. But when you got something big and when you got something black, Black Twitter is obviously going to pick up that flag and run with it. So it's not only been a big hit in terms of actual ratings, but in terms of social media, like it knocked Donald Trump's first interview out of the top spot on Twitter.
Yeah, it did 4.4 million, 2.6 million of which were 18 to 49.
Wow. That's BET. BET market.
Yeah.
And so, for those that don't know, this is a biopic. I almost called it a documentary because it feels so real sometimes. But it's a biopic about the ups and downs of New Edition, the R&B group from the 80s and 90s, and they're still around today. And of course, that was the group that was comprised of Velvet DeVoe, Bobby Brown, Johnny Gill, and Mr. Sensitivity himself, Marcus Ralph Tresvant. But before we get to the actual movie, in terms of New Edition, were you a fan back in the day? Are you still a fan? But what are your thoughts on New Edition?
I'm a little too young to really embrace New Edition. I was born in 83. At that point, they were already performing.
At that point, Bob was already smoking crack.
Yeah. I'll just go out and say it. Kind of overrated.
Whoa. Marcus Vandenberg with maybe the hottest take of the year so far, saying New Edition is overrated. Wow.
Kind of overrated.
Okay. I'm going to let you finish.
Here's the other thing, too. Maybe this is a plus on them. Do you realize next year it will be 40 years?
Wow.
Since New Edition was formed. 40.
That's crazy. Hey, you got to give them credit. That's longevity.
That's something.
Like, crack could not kill this group. Drugs and police could not kill this group.
They were formed in 78, but then their first album was until 83. So, but kind of overrated. So that this is why, I mean, I've taped it, but I have no desire to rush out and watch 6 hours of New Edition. Nah,
well,
I'm good.
We'll get to that later, though, because spoiler alert, you won't have to watch 6 hours, Marcus.
3.5.
Maybe. but in terms of New Edition, like this, I'm a fan of New Edition. Like, to me, I'm not going to say that they're overrated. I'll put it like this, Marcus. I think they might be overrated by black people, but I think they're sorely underrated by the mainstream.
That's fair.
If that makes any sense.
That makes sense.
Because I think, you know, if you compare them to comparable groups, you know, like New Kids on the Block or Boys to Men, who, you know, was started by Michael Bivins. Or were put on by Michael Bivins, or groups of that nature, LaVert. Like, to me, New Edition is not only probably the best bunch, group out of that bunch, but in terms of success, not only as a group, but as the, you know, you splinter them off, it's almost like reverse Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, we start with New Edition, and then Bobby Brown goes off and has like a 2 or 3 year run as one of the biggest R&B guys. Velvet DeVoe breaks off and has like a year run of being the biggest R&B group. Johnny Gill is like making baby making music. Ralph Tresvant being all sensitive over here for the ladies. Like, each guy had a hit record, and then the group had hit records. So to me, like, I think, yeah, black people probably hold them in higher esteem than they merit. But I do think that for the mainstream, I don't think they've been given their due. And so that's why I think this is a good movie, because if you're already in the New Edition camp as a fan, it might enlighten you on some other things that you didn't know about. But if you or maybe somebody that's even a little bit younger than you, Marcus, and you're like, what's my pops or my mom or my uncle, like, what, or my older brother, like, what are they talking about with New Edition? You know, I think it's a good kind of crash course, and I do mean crash, because there's a lot of crashes in this damn movie, to kind of introduce you to the group. And the other thing, man, I got to give them credit for it, the kids actually do the singing themselves, which is cool.
I heard about that, yeah.
Like, they've got, I think it's like two sets of kids. They had the little kids that played like Candy Girl New Edition, And they were like adorable and sang and did their little moves. And then they got like the teenagers that played the New Edition from like 85, 86, up until the end of the movie.
Okay.
But yeah, like the, to me, all the kids did a good job with the singing and the choreography. And yeah, I think if you enjoy, like a well placed or well paced story about you know, a musical group, whether that's like the Jersey Boys or the Temptations movie, like if you dig musicals, I think you'll enjoy it.
So I'm looking at the cast here. This is quite the cast.
Yeah, man.
The first name that stands out, to be honest, would be Michael Rapaport.
Yeah, man. Guess what role he plays?
Who plays the role of Gary Evans?
The shady white manager.
Yeah.
Hey, damn it, why do they always typecast him Rapaport?
But then you have Lala. You have Lisa Nicole Carson.
Mm-hmm. She's good as always.
Still getting them checks.
Yep.
Faison Love.
Yeah, man. Big Perm is in the New Edition movie.
Man. Wood Harris.
Wood Harris, to me, he's probably one of the best people in the movie so far. Because he plays their original manager and longtime choreographer, Brooke Payne.
Who was always Avon. That's his only role. Bart Still.
Yep.
Yeah, this is
it's a good cast. Tank's in it.
Oh, God.
Your man Dwayne Martin is in it. Like they somebody signed the alarm for black actors.
They rounded them up.
And as we're recording this tonight, part three, the finale of the New Edition story is currently airing. So I'm gonna catch the replay when we get through. So I'm wondering though, the one person I'm missing out of this is your man that played David Ruffin on the Temptations movie.
Oh.
And it's not Leon, because Leon played, is it Leon?
It might be Leon.
Yeah, because Leon, he played David Ruffin, and he played the brother in JT in the Five Heartbeats.
Let me find this. Is it Leon? Page.
And I think he played the Black Jesus in Madonna's Like a Prayer video, too. Leon be getting checks for a minute.
Leon, let's see here.
No, nobody know this man last name.
He only goes by Leon. That's on him.
That's pretty bold, though. Like, I mean, Leon's he's always good in whatever he's in, Marcus. But let's be honest. We keep it 100 here. Leon ain't no damn star.
Five Heartbeats, he plays JT Matthews.
Okay, and he's David Ruffin in The Temptations?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the only black man I'm missing from this. And like I said, he may be in it. At the end, you know, in some type of role, but to me, if they had David Ruffin show up, it would just be, you know, I mean, Leon show up, it would be like the ultimate stamp of approval for black miniseries.
Leon Robinson, who, if you watch The Housewives, is the ex husband of Cynthia Bailey.
Really?
Yep. And he'll pop up from time to time. They seem to have every relationship, they have a daughter together, so.
He seems like a good dude.
Yeah, he seems like a good father. So, yeah, Leon, who goes by Leon.
Like, imagine, like, Marcus. Like, imagine if you just showed up to work one day and it was like, everybody's like, hey, Marcus, or hey, Mr. Vandenberg. You're like, no, it's just Marcus.
Yeah.
With a Z.
Mm-hmm.
no damn reason. But getting back to the movie, Marcus, it's good. Like, I think if for nothing else, just to watch the performances, because they give the guys time to do it. Like, it's just not clips of the song and dance. Like, each song, they probably go about a minute and a half.
Okay.
So you get, like, some pretty good performances by the kids. You get an Al B. Shore cameo, not the real Al B. Shore, but somebody light-skinned playing Al B. Shore.
Not me.
Like, that's either Marcus or L. DeBarge playing Al B. Shore. Maybe it's Christopher Williams.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it's good. So far, so good is what I say. So it definitely probably won't be at the top of your cue, Marcus, but I say if you get some downtime, especially during Super Bowl week, like when things can get a little ridiculous, it's not the worst way to spend 3 hours. And I say 3 hours because even though this was a three-night event with each night having a two-hour block for the movie, one thing that I will complain about, Marcus, is the amount of commercials BET inserted into this program.
Keep getting them jets, BET.
Like, that's, I think they knew they had a hit, because basically the way these things have been going, Marcus, and it's funny, because I heard one of the reviewers got a copy of the, an advanced copy, the preview, to review the movie. Mm-hmm. But you could tell where the commercial breaks were by the way the scenes faded to black and then faded up. And he was like, every 10 minutes, there's a fade out and a fade up. Ooh. And I watching this, it's like, yeah. Like, every scene pretty much is somebody says something, there's a conflict, whether it's about money or about somebody getting pregnant. We cut to a song. We cut back to the people in conflict. Somebody says a snappy line or a powerful line. Boom. Fade to black. And we get 5 minutes of commercials.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man, the commercials have been ridiculous. Like you tell, they've been doing too much.
Now, are they good commercials, at least? Or are they, typical BET?
Here's the thing. Then this is what I wanted to ask you, Marcus, because, mm-hmm. Well, it's a two-part question. Number one, with New Edition, with the movie, how much input do you think BET actually had in the production of the movie? Because I don't want to give BET too much credit if they didn't really have a whole hell of a lot to do with the actual movie.
Oh, it sounds like this is their project, so I think this is all them.
Okay. So in that case, props to BET, because like they spent the money, and you can see it on the screen, because like they've, I guess, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis are the music consultants with Babyface, mm-hmm. For the thing. So like you get authentic music, the costumes look authentic. So yeah, I will give credit what credit is due to BET on that then.
Yeah, I don't think the situation. Let me see. Production. Yeah, it looks like this is a BET project, and not so much the fact that they just happen to be showing it.
Okay. Let me give BET credit on that then, because even with this one thing, Marcus, with this one biopic, they already shut down the game and kicked Lifetime to the curb.
This was Chris Robinson was the director.
Okay.
Of music video fame.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, they already like to me, if you saw the Whitney Houston thing or the Aaliyah thing on Lifetime, this has set the bar for black musical documentaries or biopics.
Okay.
But the thing I was going to ask you then, in terms of when you talk about these commercials, they actually had some shows that seemed compelling.
They're coming up on BET?
Coming up on BET. And the two main or the three main ones were, they've got a show called The Quad, which is, and I wasn't sure if it was a comedy or a drama, and it would probably be somewhere in between, like when BET tried to revive the game.
Oh, yeah, don't.
I don't know how happy I'm going to be about that, but it's basically a story about a black college, HBCU, mm-hmm. And it's like a cross between, just from the commercials, like a cross between Drumline and A Different World. So, like, I don't know how into that I'm going to be, but, like, it looks good. I'll give it that. Like, it looks professional.
That's half the battle.
So, they've at least piqued my interest. The second one, though, Marcus, was a show called Rebel, which looks like a cross between a cop show and a superhero show, because what they've shown in the commercials is, like, this black cop, she's a black female cop, and she testifies against one of her white officers, her fellow officers. And that sets off a whole chain of events in the precinct that kind of makes her ostracized and relegates her to a desk job. And so in her effort to continue to want to fight crime, she kind of becomes a vigilante by night while being a, you know, this pencil pusher by day.
Hmm.
It's called Rebel. I'm like, I know superhero shows are kind of like the flavor of the week now, but to have one star and a black female, that's pretty big.
So that's John Singleton.
So John Singleton did that.
Yeah, so I have Some faith.
Okay. Okay, and that's a good thing. Like, okay, so we got Rumble, we got the Quad, but here's the one, Marcus, that I might be the most excited about for two reasons. Number one, it's a movie about Nelson Mandela. So can't ever have enough of those, especially those that are not starring Morgan Freeman,
because
this one stars Lawrence Fishburne as Mandela. But number two, Orlando Jones is in this picture.
Ah.
So, you know, one of these days, I'm going to make it my goal. By the end of 2017, we're going to talk to Orlando Jones.
Okay.
He stays active on Twitter. Like him and William Shatner, Captain Kirk, were having this funny little back and forth the other night, talking about Bell Let's Talk.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so they were having this funny little back and forth because William Shatner was like, somebody tweet Orlando Jones and tell him to tweet Bell Let's Talk because I haven't talked to him in a while. And then Orlando Jones popped up. You know, you can just talk to me, Captain. And then so they went on like, where you at? I'm in New York. Oh, I'm out in L.A. We'll have to meet up. He's like, oh, that sounds good. So, yeah, they were getting along famously. So, yeah, we'll have to talk to Orlando Jones sometime before the end of the year. So yeah, but my question on that, Marcus, is, do you know or have you heard about some type of new initiative from BET to actually move towards doing bigger, if not bigger budget shows, at least, you know, more quality shows that are more in line with what we see on HBO or AMC?
I have not. I feel like when I was there, they did sort of some of this outside of the game. And, you know, I think the new edition ratings is a plus, but just to keep it real, like, I can't see, and I don't see people consistently watching these new shows on BET that will generate enough ratings to keep it going. Unless it really gets some national buzz, like this is, I mean, unless really Black Twitter sort of adapts and adopts.
I just flipped over to BET just to, with the sound off, and I think that's another reason why this thing feels so authentic, Marcus, because if you think about it, a lot of new edition, at least on television, has been wrapped up with BET.
Yeah.
Like, they had a couple comeback performances at the, you know, BET Awards, so, like, they can make the set look authentic because they made the damn set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had a clip earlier, like, when they were on Video Soul, and it looks just like Video Soul. So it's like, yeah, like I think this one, like you said, like they might be able to draw eyes for events. Like, I think this is gonna end up being a really highly rated show, and I think that Mandela show, the Mandela miniseries or whatever, might be highly rated. But in terms of getting people to come in and watch every week and being able to retain those viewers, that it might be a struggle. Because keep it real, most Black people have kind of given up on BET.
Yeah.
Like, I know so many people, particularly, like, we're in a black-on-black group on black-on-black.
Black-on-black cinema.
The black-on-black cinema, yeah. Now, we're in a black-on-black crime group. the black-on-black cinema group, and a lot of people are like, hey, you know, BET, you better not screw this up. I'm turning you on for the first time in such and such months, such and such years. You better not let me down. And I think that's how a lot of Black people felt around the country.
Well, I'm glad they didn't disappoint. My one question was, I just even seen two parts, but do you know if they go all the way up until, like, the end? Or is there a cutoff for this time frame for the biopic? Because I have questions about Bobby Brown and how he's portrayed later on in life.
It looks like, because this, if I'm not mistaken, the BET Award thing that they're recreating took place in 2008.
Okay.
So it at least goes up to 2008.
All right, so I'm curious to see what they touch on with Bobby. Cause
that's what I'm saying. Like, up to what I watched last night, it when I left off, it was after the Heartbreak album, the first album Johnny Gill did with New Edition, and that was in '88. So it was like Heartbreak came out, Don't Be Cruel came out at the same time, and the closing scene again. This is like how they get you with these cliffhangers. The band's practicing, they're dancing, everybody's having a good time. The manager, played by Dwayne Martin, comes in. He's like, hey, everybody, sales are through the roof. We just booked a tour with Al Haymon. It's going to be you guys and Al B. Shaw. And everybody's like, yeah, guaranteed $30 million. It's going to be fun. And, I forgot to tell you, Bobby Brown's going to be on the tour, too. Boom. Next time on the New Edition story.
Oh, man.
Like, man. And in the preview for tonight's episode, like somebody got shot. Bobby Brown was in another fight. Like he's been in about five fights over the course of these three nights. So yeah, like I think they've done a good job of making it interesting TV, but still kind of being true to the story. Because I think what the guy said that was produced it, he had each member sit down and write out like their version of the story from the beginning to today. And then he kind of like cross-referenced each person's account and compiled them to kind of make the most accurate depiction of, you know, the kind of rise and fall and breakup and reformation and rise again of a new edition.
So a lot of fibs into one story.
Hey, these aren't fibs, Marcus.
Yeah, it's real life.
Alternative facts. They're alternative blacks.
Yeah. Here's your show title.
Bam. But yeah, I think you'll like it, Marcus. Even not being the biggest new edition fan, I think it's the perfect kind of mix of the drama and also kind of the nostalgia. Because they have like the Velvet DeVoe Poison video and Ralph Tresvant Sensitivity video and Johnny Gill My. It's like, yeah, it rings true. Like if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, like yeah, these everything in here looks authentic.
Okay.
So yeah, I give it a thumbs up. I think if you're a fan, definitely watch it. And if you're somebody that might not be a fan, but you like a good story and likes good songs, check it out.
All right.
So what would you say would be your favorite New Edition song if you have one, Marcus? Or you can go Johnny Gill, Velvet DeVoe, Bobby Brown.
I'm not a big Bobby Brown guy.
I gotta tell you though, Marcus, Bobby Brown, and here's this is almost a sad, tragic. It's tragic, but it's also kind of hopeful. And that's the other thing. Like this movie, I can already tell just by looking at it, it's not gonna have a neat happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not the way the guy's actual life is, but it's a good ending because it's like, yeah, these niggas could have been dead.
Yeah.
And they ain't dead, so at least they still out here. But like Bobby Brown, just seeing him on some of these shows promoting the stuff and singing, it's like, man, that voice is shot because that's what crack does to you. And he's not in shape at all. But it's like even at this diminished version of Bobby Brown, like you can kind of see why he was a star, at least for, you know, a brief period, because he's got charisma.
Yeah. Cool It Now would probably be my...
Cool It Now?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Like, that's a classic. Like, I think, man, Cool It Now, to me, like, Cool It Now, Candy Girl, If It Isn't Love, like, those are kind of the...
If It Isn't Love is probably up there, too.
Definitive New Edition songs.
Mr. Telephone Man.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Telephone Man. I was like the Home Again album in 96. To me, that was an underrated record. Because they had Still In Love With You. And like that was when they were, I think they got signed to Bad Boy and Puffy Does What Puffy Does.
Hit Me Off.
Hit Me Off, yeah. Yep, Hit Me Off. But they had that You Don't Have to Worry remix with Missy Elliott.
Yeah.
New Edition. Like I said, I think black people overrate them. And I think the mainstream underrates them, so...
That album went double platinum somehow.
I remember that because here's the thing, Marcus. When that album came out, I was at school up in Franklin, Massachusetts, like a little bit outside of Boston. And so obviously that's kind of New Edition home base. And so I was like, yeah, I got to get me this record or the CD. And they didn't have it at the student store. It wasn't at the bookstore. So I'm like, dang. They're like, yeah, we got it on order, but it probably won't be here for like another week or two. I'm like, I need this New Edition now. So what your man did was I hopped on the bus that took me to like the city limit or the edge of town, which was about 20 minutes away from the mall. But unfortunately, I don't know why, just bad city planning maybe, the bus didn't actually take you to the mall. It just took you to the city limit. And then that's as far as you go. If you wanted to go to the mall, you had to walk. So I took the bus to the city limit, walked about 20, 25 minutes to go pick up the New Edition Home Again CD. And while I was there, they had like a special deal. Like if you buy the CD for just like $5 more, you can get the cassette, because that's when cassettes were still around, and a poster. And I was like, you know what? I will gladly give you an extra $5 for a cassette and a poster. And I walked back 20 minutes with my new edition stuff. And then the only sad part about that was my Walkman, the batteries gave out on me. And I didn't think, in my happiness to buy the new edition stuff, I didn't think to buy some more batteries. And so, like, I'm already 15 minutes down the road, and it's like I'm in that no man's land. Like, it's too far to turn back. Yeah. So I'm just, like, listening to, like, Slow Down, New Edition. Just like Ralph Tresvant sounded like a Barry White. Just sad. But yeah, that was a good record, man. Unfortunately, that's the tour
album that went number one.
Yeah, it went number one. It beat out U2.
Yeah.
As I remember that. Like, that was a big headline. In the, it might have been the Globe or the Herald. Like, New Edition, comeback record, beats out U2 for the number one spot. But yeah, and then that tour was a disaster, because I think that tour only lasted like a month, because Bobby Brown.
Of course. Bobby's gonna Bobby.
So yeah, I think that's gonna do it for this week, Marcus, because all this talk makes me want to see how this story turns out. And that's how you know it's a good documentary, Marcus, because you already know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And it still keeps you interested. So we're going to get out of here so I can see what's going to go down with Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike, Ralph, and Johnny. And Marcus, where can the people hit you up on social media and talk to you maybe about New Edition, maybe about your time in D.C., maybe about Hawkins, who shocked the world this week. They shook up the world.
You can find me on social media at Mark Dowill, MarcoWill.
You can find me on Twitter, N8, MozaiK. Again, that is N8, MozaiK, at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show at Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. And let's see, Facebook.com/KingsOfSport. Like the show, subscribe to the show, rate and review the show. You can do that on Stitcher, on iTunes, and on Podcast Addict, or wherever you get your podcast from. And let's see. Anything else? We'll be back next week with our Super Bowl preview.
If the Royal Rumble turns out to be worth our time on Sunday, maybe we'll come back early. Maybe.
Okay. I like that.
That's a big if.
I gotta shout out to our people, Royce on Twitter, Black Mega Man, because I made a tweet earlier tonight. Because while I was waiting for us to get ready for the show, it was at the point in the concert, the point of the documentary where they had Al B. Sure show up. And I was basically like, man, Al B. Sure. And then they go out to the parking lot, and that's where they kind of do Boyz II Men's origin story. Like, man, this is like the Marvel Cinematic Universe of Black R&B movies. Like, this is like the NECU, the New Edition Cinematic Universe. And then Royce just hit me up and was like, yeah, man, I sure can't wait for that Another Bad Creation week-long epic.
No, listen, next time, BET, how about you space this out? Like, it doesn't be 3 nights in a row. You can do 3 weeks. You can do...
Oh, how about this, BET? How about one night without all them damn commercials?
There you go.
Oh, yeah, so that's what we got on tap for next week. Real quick, for anybody, because I've had a couple people hit me up on Twitter and also on Facebook in terms of an update on what's going on with the radio deal. Thus far, the only thing that's for sure is nothing's for sure. I'm still in the running, but they've yet to make a decision. So I'm on their timetable, so we'll see, man. Trying to think. Yeah, when I find out, y'all find out.
There you go.
So, but if you do want to maybe push them in a right direction, you can hit them up on Twitter at ESPN Radio 941. And hey, be respectful, because I don't want y'all to fuck this up for me.
Mitt's company.
Yeah, yeah. Put on your outside voice or your inside voice, whichever one is more polite. And hit up ESPN Radio 94.1 or 94.1 on Twitter and let them know what you think. And that's all I'm gonna say. I'm not gonna go any further because I don't want to be held responsible for some of our more rambunctious fans and listeners. Because every group has a Bobby Brown. So with that being said, Marcus, I'm gonna get out of here and finish watching this miniseries, and I'll holler at you next week, my brother.
Sounds good.
All right. So again, thanks everybody for listening and download the show, and we'll be back next week with our Super Bowl preview, and maybe some more. So let's see. Check back here next week, and stay tuned because coming up after we sign off, we got Marcus's interview with the phenomenal AJ Styles as a bonus.
The champ that runs the camp.
So, yeah, stay tuned for that after we go off the air. And we'll be back and holler at you guys next week for an all-new edition. See what I did there? For an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. Sunny days, everybody loves them. But tell me, can you stand the rain? 'Cause you've been down with the king.
Yo, it's bound to go down, lost fifth, never found. Trips through the graveyard to comment. just hazy. I don't know, this is crazy. All I can do is turn the heat up. Defeat all odds, get revenge and put the beat up. And eat up. Suckers looking for a kill. First blood's got spill. Light them up with a Mac 10 and that's facing.
Jet to sing with the green pepper weapon. Keep stepping
like two brothers. Word to the mother.
AJ, how are you?
I'm good, man.
The guy from Atlanta, huh?
Yeah, just a guy from Atlanta. No big deal.
That's disrespectful to Gainesville, isn't it? You're not from Atlanta. You're from Gainesville, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, here's another news. Neither are the Falcons from Atlanta. They are also out of Gainesville. So, yeah. You know, just a bunch of guys out of Atlanta who aren't from Atlanta.
There you go. All right. So, what's been your favorite moment during your first year in WWE?
Jeez, man, I think most everybody's favorite moment, including my own, has got to be the Royal Rumble, my debut. It was pretty unbelievable.
Where would you rank that debut in your career achievements?
Dude, that's, I got to say that's number one. Just the reaction and the surprise that the way people reacted to it. I mean, that's what it's about. You know, a lot of people think, oh, it's about winning the championship. Yes, that is amazing. But the reason why, you know, that happens is because of you, the reaction and stuff like that. And it's all about entertaining the fans. And, heck, having them go that crazy in Orlando for the Royal Rumble, for one guy coming out, that's exactly what you want.
Did you have any reservations about the reaction, considering you're a guy who's very well known on the independent scene, but in terms of the WWE fan base, you might have not been on the radar?
Oh, 100%. Very nervous about the fact that it'd be crickets when I walked out. You know, oh, who is, you know, a lot of that going on. But I was surprisingly wrong, thank God.
What's been the biggest obstacle transitioning from the independent scene, the New Japan scene, to WWE?
Honestly, nothing. I've been doing this for a while, and I think that the reason why I fit in so well with the WWE is because I pretty much had that same, I wouldn't say style, but I understand, how things are supposed to work in the ring. And for me, going from the indies and going from Japan to WWE was no problem whatsoever. There's a lot more cameras. I would say that was the biggest thing is, you know, you got to make sure that the camera sees you at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So that may have been the biggest obstacle. Other than that, it's pretty easy.
How would John Cena really do on the independent wrestling scene?
Well, let's talk about that. The independent scene is very hard. The reason why I say that is because you may be the guy coming in from a different state that no one knows. So how are you going to have people react? How are they going to react? Well, a lot of that's going to have to take place through stuff they haven't seen before, stuff they didn't expect in the ring. You know, and that takes a lot of athletic ability to get eyes on you and to pay attention sometimes. But also you have to have, you know, everything. You know, every type of wrestling that you can think of, that you got to be able to adapt to this guy who may only do lucha stuff, or this guy may be 6'8", so, well, we know he's not doing that, so how do we adapt? You know, all that stuff has to happen. But, you know, I say that, you know, how John Cena does it. No one's really going to ever know, you know. But I would venture to say, as a nobody coming in, he would get eyes would be on John Cena based on his look alone. He's a tank. This jacked up man, that's the first thing people would see. And so he's going to get a reaction just based on the way he's looked. Now, what happens in the ring isn't going to be as easy, because the whole you can't see me thing, people aren't going to go and do that with him because they have never seen him before or whatever. So there's a lot that goes into the independence that a lot of people don't understand. And, you know, and who's to say whether John would have done well or if he would have done terrible in the Indies? How will we ever know? We won't.
Mm-hmm. Is there a sense of pride that yourself, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins sort of carry when you are in WWE, knowing that your background is a little different than some guys?
Absolutely. Yeah, I went. I think that traveling the world, doing on the independence, being on the independence, is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So I've got all these guys who sit on the computer and judge everything that happens, and you know, in sports entertainment, you know, I've got them long before I came to the WWE. So these kind of people will appreciate the fact that, oh, he's one of us. He came through the independents. He's one of us, you know. And I think that helps, you know, with getting, you know, people to react. You know, I think that had a lot to do with Orlando and at the Royal Rumble. People reacted because they're going, he's one of us. He's one of our guys, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it challenging to be a man of faith in an industry like professional wrestling?
Not at all. Everybody respects everybody, no matter what they believe. You know, everybody's very respectful and just overall good bunch of people. I mean, that's what the WWE is now, and it's been like that a lot. You know, everybody thinks that, you know, wrestling is just redheaded stepchild of, you know, people. You know, they're just rude or obnoxious or, you know, whatever it is that people seem to think sometimes. But the truth is, they're very intelligent, driven people in the sport that I do. And you know, they got more important things to worry about rather than how somebody feels when it comes to religion or whatever. You know, they treat everybody the same. You have to get in the ring with these people, and they want to have a great matches with them. So the best way to do that is get along.
Three more questions. Would you trade a Falcons Super Bowl win for a shot at headlining WrestleMania?
Yes.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah. That's what I tell you about that. I hope you don't print that one. Jeez, can you imagine all the Falcons fans mad at me?
I know. What are your thoughts about the Super Bowl next week?
100% Falcons are going to win.
Okay.
No doubt in my mind.
And Matt Ryan for MVP?
Absolutely, the guy's on fire. Listen, the Falcons are unstoppable. Who would have thought that they would have, you know, these guys from Atlanta were going to beat the crap out of Green Bay? I'm just saying. It's, you know, Matt Ryan was just some guy that played in Atlanta and just took it to Aaron Rodgers. There you go.
How would you grade Nikki Bella's AJ Styles impersonation?
Her beard is terrible. I think that's tape on her. So, you know, I mean, it's okay, I guess. I mean,
have you seen better?
I've seen better. I've seen
little kids do better. To be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the tape threw me off with their mustache or beard and whatnot. That kind of threw me off, and I don't think she had the right hair. At least I know. Actually, I know she didn't have the right hair, so she was a little disappointed. I even lent her the pants. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was trying to help her out.
Last question. Is there anything you want to say to Al Roker and Tamron Hall for the comments this week on today's show?
Well, I guess, would you say, was her name Tamron Hall?
Uh-huh.
Is that her name?
And Al Roker, yeah.
Well, I would like for her to do some research before she tries to talk about something she has no idea about. The fact of the matter is, she didn't know what John Cena did for a living. She didn't watch it. She had no idea. But guess what? There's this little thing called YouTube. And you can do a lot of things and research a lot of stuff on there. And as far as Al goes, he said that he didn't say anything. I beg to differ, Al. You said, what did he say exactly? He says, he didn't say I was just some guy from Atlanta. But he said something to the point where you, some guy, yeah, you, someone you or something like that. And that would say that you are involved, sir. And that, you're just jealous because you have no hair.
Thank you, AJ.
Yeah, man.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network. Whether you like it or not, he's back. DADY, fan sex.